right, Luke chapter 16. And let's begin reading in verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day." Sounds like Americans, amen. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Let's pray tonight. Ask God to bless us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity once again to come apart from this filthy, vile, wretched world and to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints here at Spring City, Lord, a part of the family of God. What a blessing it is. Thank you for the good day you've given us all. Thank you for the health and ability as it's already been prayed to come to church. And I pray now that you'll clear our minds, Lord, of all the distractions that would choke out the word tonight, all those cares of life. Father, help us to put them aside and to focus on you for the next few moments. We pray your word would have free course tonight and be glorified in this assembly just like it is in heaven, and that you would speak through me to the heart of your people. I pray that the preaching tonight will be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and Lord, that it would be mixed with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our, not only the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. Lord, thank you for being the great shepherd. And we're sure looking forward to seeing the chief shepherd. And we can't wait until you step out on the cloud and call us home. And so, Lord, until then, while we're down here as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, Lord, help us to take the principles and the precepts of your word, apply them to our heart in wisdom, and live a life that pleases you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't know that I've ever heard a message on this before. It doesn't matter if you have or haven't. But sometimes in life, Brother Dave and I were talking about this at Publishing Room last night. Sometimes in life, God just, he teaches you something as you're going through a circumstance and a situation. He teaches you a scriptural principle, a spiritual principle. And it's fun then to go study that, and it's really, usually it's just a phrase or a little nugget or something like that, and then you go study it out, and the Lord really just opens it up and embellishes it, and what a blessing it is. And so this is one of those messages tonight. We'll get back to the power of God on Sunday morning. But tonight, I want to talk to you about dogs licking sores. How many of you have a dog at home? Y'all are ashamed. Every one of you are ashamed of that. So, my hand's up too, okay? I got one at home too now. And I guess if you can't beat them, you join them, kind of thing. But no, really and truly, I've come after 5 months, I sort of like him. And I don't mind him being around. But I'll get to this here in just a moment. This is coming out of practical application. Dogs, though, in Scripture, and let me just say this tonight. Okay, I own a dog. Don't think that I'm bashing dog owners, okay, because I'm not. But our society is warped when it comes to animals, okay? God called it unnatural affection, and it's everywhere, okay? People will spend more money on the dog's health and the dog's food and everything else than they will on missions and their own family and their own health. And it's just, it's wacko. Okay. But anyway, now I got that out of the way. Dogs in Scripture typically are painted in a negative light. Sometimes they're positive. I think tonight's instance, you could probably, say that is a positive thing, that the dogs came and licked this man's sores. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But generally in Scripture, if you look at all the references, most of them are negative. Dogs are often described as man's best friend, aren't they? And I think a lot of that is because of their trainability, right? I mean, some of these animals, they're not human smart, but they're smart. Our little pup, I mean, he's learned the routine now. And he's got certain signals and signs, and man, when he needs to go potty, he just goes, stands at the door like, all right, I gotta go. So there is some intelligence there, but they're not as smart as me and you. We're going to test those things all night long, okay? All right? They're not as smart as a human. And I think that phrase, man's best friend, really got coined because of the farm work and the livestock work. And boy, some of those healers and the collies and the shepherd dogs are, if you've ever watched one of those that's been trained work a flock of sheep or work cattle, it is amazing. It's amazing. And so anyway, I think man's best friend came around because of that partner and working those herds. And, you know, a dog's pretty affectionate as long as you feed them and don't kick them. They'll stick around with you for a little bit. And so anyway, that's sort of where our society sits with some of that today. And when you study this out in the Bible, you're going to see God likens the behavior of mankind to certain behaviors of dogs. And when he does that, it's usually not a good thing. One of them is Isaiah 56:11. You don't have to turn over there. Well, do you want to turn over there? Let's turn over there. Isaiah 56:11. We do say this is Bible study and prayer meeting night. I think every time we come together, it's Bible study. Amen. Isaiah 56:11. If you look here, the Bible says, "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough." Now, he's talking about people. He's specifically talking about Israel. But he says, "They're greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand." Okay, so if you've ever watched a dog eat, contrary to all the cartoons, a dog does not bow its head and say, "Lord, thank you for this food." No, he just devours it. And bout makes himself or herself sick. They ate it so fast. And you just, it's nasty. It is. And so they're greedy. And yet the Lord likens this then to people that are greedy. And of course we know the Lord, he cautions us about being covetous. He cautions us about the acquisition of things and things having our heart. And he says in Luke chapter 12 or 14, I can't remember which chapter it is, but anyway, Jesus is teaching and he says that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And so we see this greediness in the dogs. And really, when you look at that and you watch that thing eat like that, it's just a manifestation of the fleshly carnal desire. Right? And so God's made people different than dogs. And so we have the good sense, I hope, to bow our head and say, "Lord, thank you for providing this food for me." All right. let's go ahead and get that one out of the way. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. Don't cut me off and get mad and offended. Okay, those of you listening over the radio, I don't hate your dog. I don't think you're stupid for owning one. Well, independent Baptists get a bad rap, but we get it honestly sometimes. That was a really good point to say amen on. Deuteronomy 23, if you look here in verse 18. Well, let's get verse 17, given the month that it is. Deuteronomy 23:17. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." This is totally free tonight. This is Pride Month where the sodomite crowd promotes themselves for a whole month. I'm still waiting on White Christian Celebration Month to come out. I think we need a petition for one of those. But anyway, it's Pride Month for the sodomites and all the professional sports teams just buy it lock, stock, and barrel. And they push it down everybody's throat and they have the pride nights at all the stadiums and they force the players to wear the rainbow symbols on their logos. And it's just in your face, shove it down your throat. And I appreciate the guy. And you know, if you're a professional athlete, a lot of times you don't get a chance to say where you play. You get drafted, hired, and you go play the contract. And so many of you probably saw this. There was a major league pitcher out in San Francisco of all places. And, he was forced to wear the rainbow hat for the night, and so he wrote Genesis 9, 12, or 13 beside it. And he got a lot of backlash from that. And what I think is crazy about that is the verse is not even a condemnation of sodomy like this verse is. That verse in Genesis 9 is just telling what God put the rainbow in the clouds for. But anyway, that's not the message tonight. Verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination of the Lord thy God. And so God just put together whoredom and dogs. And I'm just going to say this tonight because of the multitude we have here. Dogs have no discrimination. A dear brother and I were talking years ago about someone that we knew that had gone through a really difficult time in their life. And they went through a really difficult time in their life because the person that we knew, his wife had cheated on him with another man, committed adultery. And this brother says to me, he says, we don't understand really what goes on in people's lives around here. He said, but people live like dogs. And what he meant by that was marriage really doesn't mean much to people anymore. And that one man and one woman thing, that's a God-ordained principle. We ought to respect that. We ought to preach that, amen. We ought to push for that. But boy, the society that you live in, they live like dogs. They're just indiscriminate. They have no conscience about it whatsoever. All right, Proverbs 26. We'll get two of them in Proverbs 26. Wasn't that nice of the Lord to do that? Proverbs 26, let's look at verse 17. Proverbs 26, verse 17. The Bible says this, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Boy, that's easy to do today on social media, isn't it? The Bible says, belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, we've been out knocking doors before, and just about probably 90% of the doors that we knock now, there's a dog in the house. And you knock that door, and you'll hear the dog, and he slams into the door because he's going to try to come get you, right? And the person comes to the door, and they're trying to wrangle this dog, and can I help you? You know, and they're trying to wrangle this dog back. Anyway, I would not, and I've had to do this before, but be out in somebody's yard. I don't want them to turn the German Shepherd loose. Just keep him in there, okay? I really don't want them to turn the ankle biter loose. I've almost had that happen a couple times. And there's a couple times in Charlottesville, I can remember doing this. Whatever, I don't remember what, there weren't a distinguishable breed of a dog. But, you know, you're walking up the sidewalk and the hair's back on the back of its neck and it's growling at you and showing its teeth, but it's just sort of staying away from you and you're just walking up, talking to it real nice, and all of a sudden it sort of lunges at you, you know, see what'll happen? And I've taken my Bible and said, get away from me! And they went away. But it would be foolish to walk up on somebody's property that has a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd or Great Pyrenees, and you don't know that dog, you'd be the dumbest person in the world to walk up to it and take it by the ears. Hey, puppy, how are you? You're going to lose a hand or be hurt otherwise. Okay? And God said it's just as foolish for you and I to be passing through this life and see some strife somewhere and go over and insert ourselves in the middle of it. You're going to get hurt. It's going to cost you something. And so you see how the dog's behavior and man's behavior, God is making these comparisons. You see this, okay, these similarities. Come back just a few verses. This one's very vivid. Verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, Miss Karen, we like our dogs, okay? But it's hard for me to watch that dog eat his own vomit and then want him to get up in my lap. Not interested in that. Okay? But what a vivid picture. Probably everybody in here has seen that. That's disgusting. And God said, it's just as disgusting as somebody that's committed sin and had to suffer the consequences for that sin and reap what they've sown and go right back to it. You see how God's taking this animal and He's painting spiritual teaching pictures for us. Okay? And so far, all of them are really bad. Many times. This one might be good. Depending on how your sense of humor is, this one might be good. You might be warped and it might be good for you. 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you've got the dogs licking Ahab's blood. Take that how you want to take it. And then in 2 Kings, you've got the dogs eating Jezebel. And they eat everything but her hands and her feet because those things did so much wickedness, even the dog didn't want it. And God prophesied that would happen. Many times, people are referred to as dogs in the Scriptures. it is usually an insulting phrase or a degrading phrase. I think one of the first mentions of that is Goliath asked David, "Am I a dog?" Well, according to God, He made a difference between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And He said the Israelite people were as sheep and the Gentiles were as... Why? Because they lived like them. So Goliath says, "Am I a dog?" Yeah. And then David flips the script. And when Saul's trying to kill him, David comes out of the cave and reveals himself to Saul one of those times. And he says, "I'm just a dead dog. Why are you chasing me?" It's interesting that came up like that. Mephibosheth has the same response when David sends for him and says, "Come live in the palace and I'll feed you and you'll sit at my table." And Mephibosheth says, "Why should a dead dog such as I find grace in your sight?" And so you see that humility and sort of a degrading, insulting phrase there. Shimei, as David was fleeing from Absalom, Shimei is cursing him. And I can't remember which one it was. One of those, Abishai, maybe it was, said, let me go kill this dead dog, right? And so, really a degrading thing. Hazael said the same thing. The Gentiles were called that, by Jesus. Mark 7. And you know the instance, but we'll go read it. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, the Bible says this in verse 24, Mark 7, 24 says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet, and the woman was a Greek." Hey, well, that's not a Jew, amen. She's a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Okay, now, this is the time of Jesus' ministry, and I think you know this, but I'll make sure you know this. The first part of Jesus' earthly ministry, he's coming unto his own. He is presenting himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. And the Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. Okay, so about this point, Mark 8, Matthew 12, 13 in there, you have the rejection of Jesus Christ for the nation of Israel, rejecting him as their Messiah. And when he sent out the 70, you'll remember this, when Jesus sent out the 70, he said, "Go not and but unto the house of the lost sheep of Israel." He said, "Don't go to the Gentiles." Now, I'm glad that changed. Praise the Lord that changed. Okay, but that's the context. So some people think, well, Jesus is just being a jerk here. He's not. He's trying to fulfill the ministry, and he's giving the nation of Israel an opportunity. And when they reject it, he's going to turn to the Gentiles. And it's prophesied all throughout the scripture. But even still, you know what happens here. He grants her request, and she's a Gentile. And he marvels at her faith. And look at this. The Bible says, she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. This woman is wise. She says, Lord, I don't need a whole meal. I just need a crumb from you. And she said, fine, you want to call me a dog? She said, I'll be a dog. All I need's a crumb. Man, praise the Lord for that. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, the dogs eat of the table. Under the table, eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil has gone out of thy daughter. What a thing. You talk about the power of God, amen. That's a good example of it. Okay, so we just summarize all of that tonight. Dogs then, as we've seen in the Bible, they're greedy, they're aggressive, they're dangerous, or they can be. They're scavengers, they're indiscriminate. They're the furthest thing from being holy. Let's just be honest. Now, back to Luke 16. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang in there. So here's Lazarus. And he's laid at the rich man's gate. The Bible says in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs. That's what that Gentile lady asked for. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, we don't know what Lazarus' sickness is. Okay, we're not told what it is. But nonetheless, it is a sickness to where he has sores and boils on his body and he is immobile. He is laid at the rich man's gate. And it sounds like he can't move from there, and he's just asking for, listen, would you sweep up the crumbs that come off your table when the housekeeper comes by after supper tonight and sweeps up all the mess underneath the table? He says, could you just bring me that trash can that's all in? I'll be glad to have that. It's a pretty poor position, amen? And the Bible says the dogs came and licked his sores, and I've always read this as God using the dogs to bestow some grace upon Lazarus. And maybe it is. But after having gone through what we are going through with our puppy dog, I think it's just part of his suffering. And so our little dog Patch, he had an operation that produced a small incision. And the doctors, Chloe and the others over there at VCA, wanted that incision to scab over. And so they put this plastic cone. Y'all have seen those, right? We threaten our girls with them now. Put that plastic cone on him. And the point of it is, the whole point of that little plastic cone is so that he doesn't lick the sore. And this was kind of revelation to me, and I'm thinking in my mind, logically, I'm thinking, what's wrong with that? I mean, if I got a sore, I want to, you know, make it better. And the cone that they originally had on him, his nose was too long; he could reach around it and lick it anyway. And so it started, you know, pussing and oozing and getting real red. And thankfully, Chloe brought us a longer cone, and that has worked. And this incision place now is almost healed over, and probably tomorrow we'll take the cone off and he'll be out of cone jail. But the point was, the whole point of all that was to keep our dog from licking his sore. And yet that's what God said the dogs were doing to Lazarus. So Sunday night I asked Chloe, I said, I need the veterinary's technical language on why this is not good. And she said, well, it's pretty simple. She said, number one, when the dog licks the sore or the wound, it doesn't let it heal. It keeps it open. And she said also, and I'm going to add this in, this is not what Chloe said, contrary to popular belief, a dog's mouth is not cleaner than a human's mouth. So how do you know? They eat their own vomit. They go to the bathroom and instead of using toilet paper, they lick it. Y'all gonna quit coming on Wednesday nights, aren't you? This is kidding. Do you understand? And she, but this is back to Chloe quote, okay? She said they can get infected because of the germs and things in their mouth. And so, honestly, our little dog, I mean, I have a little bit of sympathy for him. I mean, he's struggled through it. He bounces off walls and hits the cone. You know, doesn't have any peripheral vision. But it's healing, okay? And I know that incision place on him, I know it hurt. I know it itched. I know it was probably very uncomfortable for him. But we knew better than he knew. Because God made people smarter than dogs. And we knew if we can just keep him from licking it for a few days, then his body will heal and it'll take care of him and go on with life. Okay? Now, just like God drew all the similarities to the dogs and people that we've talked about tonight, here's the similarity. You and I, as we walk this pilgrim journey on this earth, we are going to get hurt spiritually. We're going to get hurt emotionally. Okay, we're not going to act like we're really tough dudes and it doesn't happen. It happens to everybody in this room, including your pastor. Okay, we're going to get hurt spiritually. We are going to get hurt emotionally. It will happen in the way of words said to us. Somebody will say something sharp towards you because of your faith. They'll say something sharp towards you because of your Bible standards. They'll call you a bigot. They'll call you insensitive. You know, here it is Pride Month, and anything that you say against that, you're the devil kind of stuff, you know. And those things hurt sometimes. It's difficult to handle those. Maybe somebody, you know, gets passed over a promotion at their job because of their strong stance for Jesus Christ, or because they go in and they ask, the boss or whoever it is, listen, can I not work on Sundays and Wednesdays so I can attend church? And they say, well, yeah, that's fine, but we're going to leave you right where you're at. We're not going to promote you and all those kind of, those things hurt. You lose a friend, which I've had to go through because of a stance over a Bible issue. And you try to stand with God and they don't see it that way, and you think, how could we be that close friends and you not see it the way God sees it? And they turn and walk away and just cut off all communication. I'm telling you, that hurts. And trouble at the church and trouble in the home and trouble at work, and man that's born of a woman's full day is full of trouble. Amen. Few days, there it is, and full of trouble. And so you and I, as we walk through this life, we're going to get hurt spiritually and emotionally. And what we have to resist the urge to do is we cannot continue to lick the wound. And that's hard to do. I will find myself sometimes mowing the front yard out here, and a thought comes across my mind, something that's happened that hurt in days past. And if I'm not, listen to me, if I'm not careful, I'll spend the whole 30 minutes out there mowing and weed eating just rolling that thing over my mind. And the more I roll it over, the worse my attitude gets. You know what that is? That's just licking the scar. It's just licking the wound. And just like a dog, we don't want the dog to lick his wound for those two reasons, so it'll heal and not get infected. If you and I keep licking our spiritual and emotional wounds, it's not going to heal, and it's probably going to get infected. So you say, preacher, how do I not do it? Wear a cone. How do I not do it? Come with me to Philippians chapter 4. The Lord's told us how to handle this stuff. We just have to do it, amen. And you already know where I'm going. You could probably already quote the three verses that I'm going to read to you. But we have to put it into practical action, church. And I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody needs this tonight. I really believe the Lord just wanted me to preach this. And I hope it helps you, but I know in our church and the troubles that we've gone through over 90 years, but especially over the last 20 years or 30 years, it'd be real easy for somebody to be in this church building tonight, still coming to church, but still licking the wound. Be real easy. Philippians 4, Bible says this in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Right? So that's full of care. Right? Now, it's not, anyway, that's being full of care. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if we will do that, when we are burdened down with the cares of this life and emotional baggage and spiritual hurt, if we will do what this says, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell God about it. He promises, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, your hearts and what? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, I've been out there mowing in the yard. I've been driving down the road. I've been walking a blue line brook trout stream trying to get my head clear. And these scars and these wounds and these hurtful situations continue to pop up in my head. And I've had to just stop and say, God, I'm sorry for thinking about it. It's over. What? You can't go back and redo it. God, I'm sorry. Lord, I wish this hadn't happened. Lord, would you help those people? God, would you help me to not just dwell on it and keep licking the wound? It kind of sounds insensitive, doesn't it? It really kind of blows the whole modern day, and I say this very loosely with air quotes, Christianity out of the water. Because today's Christianity is all built on emotions. It's all built on feelings. Biblical Christianity is built on principle. Built on truth. And God says, listen, you want to walk down there long enough. And he says, you're going to get hurt. And he says, but you can't keep licking the wound. You've got to cast, as 1 Peter 5, 7 says, you've got to cast, I have to cast all of our care on God because he cares for us. Praise the Lord. He's interested in us. He's concerned about us. And he does not want us living our lives licking the spiritual and emotional wounds that we just need to let heal and go on. See, that just sounds mean, doesn't it? But I'm telling you what happens is if we keep licking those wounds, church, it just puts us in bondage. And then it becomes the excuse for why we don't live right. We'll go and teach these lessons in CUC in these schools. And I try to be just as gentle with these kids as I can. Because I'm telling you, some of those kids have lived through it in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade already. I try to be so careful with it, but I try to tell them, listen. And usually it's when we teach the Grant lesson, Miss Lori. Because it's such a great lesson about going through hardship and yet still being successful in life. And I'll tell them, I'll say, listen, some of you in this class, you've gone through unspeakable heartaches. You've had to watch your parents do something, go through a divorce, have a loved one die, friends walk away from you, whatever it is, and things that we won't even mention. And I'll tell them, I'll say, I'm sorry it's happened to you. But you cannot let that difficult situation define your life. Because what they're tempted to do is to continue to lick that sore. And then when they don't get a job, well, you know, dad was mean to me when I grew up. Or they can't hold their marriage together. Well, my parents got divorced. I'm just telling you the reality of life down on this earth. And what we can't do is keep licking the sores. And so church, Spring City Baptist Church, you're some of the strongest people that I know in this world. You have remained faithful through thick and thin, and I salute you and I'm honored to be your pastor. But I don't want anybody still giving in to the urge to lick those wounds. Because here's what the dog does. The dog's not going to lick his wounds when I'm sitting there watching him. because he knows I'm going to catch him. It's when he goes and gets real quiet, and you haven't seen him for a few minutes, and you poke your head around the corner, and he's trying to get it. And you won't lick the wounds when we come into the assembly. You won't even lick the wounds when you're sitting at the supper table with your family. But you'll be awful tempted to lick it when you go to bed at night. You'll be awful tempted to try to scratch that itch when you're by yourself. Come over with me to let's go to Ephesians 4. You're in Philippians, is that right? Back just a few pages, Ephesians 4. And so what is it when we lick? I haven't really described this very well. I think most of you are getting this, but what is it then? How do we lick our wounds? Well, we think about them and we talk about them. I have known people in my life that they went through a difficult situation. And for the next 15 to 20 years of their life, that's all they talked about. You'd see them at Christmas, you'd see them at Thanksgiving, you'd see them whenever, and you'd be talking about whatever, and eventually something would be said and the conversation would just slip into that. And we finally just had to tell them, look, we're not going to talk about that. I could have said, we're not going to lick the wound. But I didn't have that message then. And so how do we lick the wounds? We think about it. We let our imagination run wild. We'll get to that here in just a second. And we talk about it. And usually we try to find the people that are going to agree with us to talk about it. And boy, don't that feel good. But you know what all that is? That's just a temporary solution to what needs to be a permanent solution. Ephesians 4, if you look here, the Lord's talking about in this chapter, last part of this chapter, about putting on the new man. I'm glad I got a new man, aren't you? Glad I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And you come down to verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, including licking wounds. And listening to people lick your wounds. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, it'd just be so much better if somebody's struggling, and instead of you just, and me, I'll say all of us, instead of just helping them lick their wounds, we say something to them that edifies them and builds them up and strengthens them against that thing. Against that self-pity and against that woe is me attitude and against that I got hurt and bless God, I'm going to hold it out and hold it as the flame of my life, and every decision I make is going to be based around the fact that I got hurt. God help us to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them, let that wound heal. Better yet, encourage them to let Jesus heal the wound. Time will do a lot. Excuse me. Time will do a lot, but I found my Savior can heal it a whole lot quicker. He goes on to say, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How about that? I told you some of those wounds are spiritual wounds. And when we start talking about how we've been wrong, how we've been hurt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I think the Holy Ghost of God just says, oh, not again. It grieves him. And he goes on to say, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. Hallelujah about that. 31. Let all, and the first word is. Now I told you, Chloe told me, that we don't want our dog licking his wound because it might get infected. You know what bitterness is? That's a spiritual infection. It's an emotional infection. Bitterness is us being drinking poison and hoping that it kills the person we're mad at. Well, that it's sort of hard to describe what it is, but if you've ever felt it, you know what it is. And God said, let all bitterness. And the next one is wrath and anger. I can be out there mowing. I bring that up because it just happened the other day. I can have a great day, be getting work done, be making progress. My wife's fixed some wonderful meals. We've had a lot of laughs around the table in the kitchen with the girls and laughing at the dog and the cat and everybody else, you know, and have the post office be on time with a delivery. Amen. And just a good day and go get that mower and come up here and fire that thing up and put those headphones on and start mowing. And here come those thoughts. And I can be in the best mood when I start mowing and be in the worst mood when I'm done. Why? Because that stuff just brings up the wrath and the anger and the hurt and the bitterness. And just like Patch's sore, when he would lick it, it would ooze. It just oozes out of us. The Bible goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all, and the next word is, you know, that word malice is you wanting to get them back. And I'm telling you, you lick that wound long enough, you'll start imagining, well, when I see them the next time, this is what I'm going to say to them. Boy, the next time I see that person, they better watch out. I'm telling you guys, it's just licking that wound. It's not letting God heal it. And it's going to cause a lot of trouble. 32, what's the solution from the Lord? Well, be ye kind one to another. Did God not say for you and I to be kind to our enemies? And when we did that it would do what to them? Heap coals of fire on their head. Now, don't do it for that reason. You need to be genuine, okay? But I'm telling you, I'm telling you what I've lived. If you will be kind to that person that hurt you, I'm telling you, God will deliver you from that hurt and that bitterness and that anger and that wrath. And there's... And you say, well, I tried to be kind to them. They wouldn't let me. Doesn't that make you mad? So you got to tell God, look, Lord, I did what I was supposed to do. I can't do anything else. God, just take it from me. And he's done it for me. He'll do it for you. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. You know what I've started doing? When I see some of those people that have really hurt me and hurt our church, when I see them in town, I just start praying for them. God forgive them. God help them to do right. Lord, if I ever do get a chance to speak to them, help me to say the right thing. It'll just help you not to lick the wound. Forgiving one another. I know it's been taught at this church, and I don't want to fight about it, amen. That there's no forgiveness without repentance. And I understand that. But that's also talking about God. There's going to be some things happen to me and you in this life that person is not going to repent that hurt you. They will die before they repent for hurting you. And so what you cannot do is let that put you in bondage. So you and I have to have a forgiving spirit toward them, even though they have not asked for that forgiveness. Because if you don't, that bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and malice and evil speaking and licking the wounds, it's just going to be part of your life the rest of your days. Remember when Job over there, remember God allowed Satan to do all that to him? And then his three friends come and beat him up for three rounds. Remember all that? Miserable comforters are y'all. Well, I tell you, there's one word in there that Job mentioned a time or two. And every time I read through Job, it just jumps off the page at me. And I beg God, I say, please don't let me do that as a pastor, God. Please, when people come to me for counsel, don't let me make them feel this way. And Job said, I am not inferior to you. And those guys, when they came to talk to him, they didn't come to comfort him. They came to point their fingers at him. And they tried to make him feel inferior. Anyway, he gets over there and, you know, God has to shut the whole thing down because it's just getting out of control. And Job says it. He says, Lord, I repent. And God tells those three friends, he says, I want you to go back to Job. And he said, I'm going to tell Job to pray for you. And the Bible says when Job prayed for his three friends, that God delivered him. And then restored him. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And I'm telling you, look guys, the deepest wounds that you and I will ever encounter this side of glory are the ones that come from people that are saved. I can handle it when a drunk says something stupid. Honestly, I can handle it when an adulterer says something stupid. But man, when a brother or sister that I love dearly does something that hurt, but that cuts so deep, you understand. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I believe Peter said, Lord, if my brother offend me seven times, how much do I have to forgive him? Seven times? The Lord said, no. 70 times seven. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Just another warning about bitterness here. It's such a cancer in our churches. It's such a cancer in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, if you look with me in verse 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Look here. Lest any root of bitterness springing up. The next two words are trouble you. And I'm telling you guys, if we keep licking those wounds and it gets infected with bitterness, it's going to hurt us. It's going to trouble us. But the verse isn't done. And thereby many be defiled. And now, church, it'll not just ruin your life, it'll ruin the church. It'll ruin your family. It'll make your workplace just a miserable place to be for your coworkers that aren't saved, most likely. So don't keep licking.